Hey guys, Zeb here with an important message before we get into this week's episode. Now that we are at Ep 15, we do come to another chameleon catch-up. So it's just Harry and I, and we'll be debriefing on the past four interviews from the past four episodes. We'll give our personal take and what resonated most from each guest. And this time around, we've finally completed our challenge that we set out for ourselves back in episode 10. So a fair chunk of the chat today will be us reflecting on our experience as a vegetarian for myself and Harry living his life without social media. We also do have some announcements and talk about our plans for the pod in 2023, but I better warn you that we did have some slight technical difficulties in this section, so do apologize for some crackling in the last few minutes of the episode, but do listen through so you understand what the plans are for 223. I also wanted to take this opportunity to just say a massive sincere thank you to each and every one of you that's listened to any Call Your Chameleon episodes so far. Like, we've just been blown away week on week by the support we've received, and it's so rewarding to know and hear from you guys that our incredible guests that we've had just make such an impact on you guys. So yeah, I just want to let you know that this really does give us so much motivation to keep going, keep finding more guests, and keep adding more members to the Chameleon community. So thanks for listening in, and I'm glad that you are enjoying it when you do reach out to us. Also, do ask that if you do have a family member or a friend or a colleague or just someone in your life that you think would benefit from any particular episode that you've listened to, share it along. You know, our aim is to interview a diverse range of people, and we hope that this will really, you know, connect to you guys as listeners, but more specifically connect to a certain type of person that might have lived in or through a similar story to the guest that we have on that week. So please share the love around where you can, and we'll continue to keep bringing in some interesting people for everyone to listen to. But anyway, I'm probably getting along too far into our chat and taking up enough airtime here, so I'll read my cue and let you guys listen to the rest. Let's get into it. Back again.
Dear love friend.
Guess who back? Harry and Zeb. Guess who's back? Guess who's back? Guess who's back? Guess who's back?
X-Gold, give it to you. What?
Back for episode 15.
The big one five.
Big one five. Harry and Zeb, chameleon catch-ups, version 3. How are you, dude?
Mate, V3. I'm good, man. I'm good. Actually, you know what? I'll be honest with our listeners.
Yeah.
I'm struggling. Today.
Let's talk about it.
Went to music festival on the weekend.
Which one, by the way?
Went to Side by Side by Oscar Harding and Elliot Jamie.
Nice.
The boys pulled on a fucking show.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, sorry for the swear words, but my God, it was a good day. Long day on the tools, but nah, I thoroughly enjoyed myself. But it's caught up with me. I thought I had a pretty productive Sunday.
Yeah.
Also went down to the Seacliff Hotel to take on the Mega Nacho Challenge. And you might want to tell them how I went.
Oh, mate, that was a laugh and a half. It got, it got the mood going for a Sunday for sure. We, you know, obviously licked our wounds from a big day of day beers and some, you know, hip shaking to some really groovy tunes. And then, yeah, went down, picked up a friend of ours, shout out Avishai. And you tried to demolish 1.5 kilos of nachos.
Oh, why did I ever try that? Yeah. I'm still in pain, like seriously.
Yeah?
I'm still in pain. I don't know if it's the hangover or like the lack of sleep, but I felt pretty good yesterday. And then today it's like, mate, I don't know how to describe it. The stomach pains didn't subside to like 9 p.m. last night.
Oh,
Well,
that's what's going to happen when you're in, you know, 1.5 kilos of pulled pork.
Yeah, not gonna lie, it was bloody good feed, but yeah. You know, you saw me 55 minutes in, I was struggling one chip at a time, washing it down with some water. It was some pretty wild scenes. Love the pump up though from you and Av, like you guys were there, full supporting me.
We were your ultimate hype men.
Oh, for sure. You guys were my chameleons yesterday.
Yeah.
Too bad I let you down and we all got eaten. But
that's all right, mate. You know, the moral of the story is you gave it a crack. You know, you put your hand up to do something a bit uncomfortable, which is nearly killing yourself full of food. And
it's a lot of food.
It was a lot of food. It was a bit ridiculous, but we're probably digressing from the point that we had our guest from episode 13 event that we talked about, and it was an absolute hoot. It was a lot to suss out. I think they probably got pretty good numbers. You know, I was pleasantly surprised with the turnout there, and it was three stages, like a lot to suss out. I think the stage designs were phenomenal. The lighting and just everything there was just such an adventure. It was really cool.
Shout out to the whole team. Seriously, everyone involved and side by side pulled together. And I know I would have spoken to half a dozen people and they were all saying the same thing. Like, we've been hanging out for this for a few years. And that was pretty awesome to hear, because obviously we, you know, conveyed that to the boys ourselves personally. But to then hear that from other guests was actually pretty awesome as well. And knowing that everyone was going to enjoy it and stuck by them, you know, they're putting Adelaide on the map and the dance scene, and we gave it a big old shove, for sure.
Absolutely, big old shove.
We gave it a big old shove.
Gave it a nudge.
We did. It was a great day.
And I hope, you know, they were satisfied with everything. I think, you know, after talking to them both on the day, they were just over the moon that they were finally there. You know, we talked in that episode about the setbacks they had through COVID, and now they've been able to live their dream again, and, you know, I hope it's fired up their you know, motivation to do it again and again and again. And I hope it becomes a bit more of an institution around the Adelaide dance scene. So
yeah,
good one to tick off. But that was episode 13. Let's kind of rewind back to when we were back sitting in the seats for our last communion catch up, 5 weeks ago now. The episode after that was with Luke Timmons, Boy from the Hills, Adelaide Hills Lawns and Gardens. Great, I thought.
Yeah, he was a good one. I'm pleased you introduced me to him. He's a great guy, and he's achieving some great things. And a story that I probably didn't expect as well, you know. A big, big career change and career path sort of adjustment midway through, his 20s, I think early 20s. He sort of jumped ship, engineering, all that sort of stuff. He went fully into the lawn mowing business with his mate, business partner, and they haven't looked back, have they? They've been kicking goals on and off the field, and, you know, he's a ripping guy, actually. Ripping guy. I really enjoyed chatting to him on and off, you know, the podcast. And I hope the guests got a lot out of that, because, you know, he did speak quite openly about, you know, the struggles of, you know, having a plan and then trying to stick to it and then realizing that, you know, this probably actually isn't for me.
Yeah.
And he actually probably isn't a good example of when he saw his mates outside of uni doing, achieving things, and he actually went, you know, went to himself, I'm going to go try that and never look back. Whereas you speak to a lot of people now and they go, oh, you know, I stuck true, or, you know, I tried to just, you know, disassociate myself with those sort of people. But, you know, he actually, you know, gave it a shot and said, you know, this lifestyle's for me and I love it. And
yeah, I think listening to what your inner voice is telling you and there are going to be times where you're tested throughout a university, you know, degree. Like, that's just a given. And some people might argue that, you know, if you are dropping out, you know, it's not necessarily like a weak thing to do, but you're not committed to the full project or like the long-term plan. But it's better off for you to recognize that, well, early days, if you're on a pathway that's not aligned to who you are or what you want to do and what you actually enjoy. And for him, that was getting outdoors.
Getting a tan.
Yeah, exactly. And it really paid off. So I hope, as you said, that some of the listeners that we have might be able to draw some inspiration from him in terms of if you're finding yourself stuck or just a bit unsettled with how things are going for you, career planning wise, education wise, you know, try something new and you never know where it will take you.
Yeah, seriously, just go out and try stuff. It's the way you find your love and the way you find things you don't like, really, as well.
Absolutely. And pulling on the community, that's what he said, you know, like, he's from a country town just on the outskirts of the Adelaide Hills region. And, you know, just by literally talking to people in his community club and sport, you know, that's what kind of helped him get to that next position. And then now he's a co-director in this business that has almost 50 staff. So
phenomenal growth.
Yeah.
Phenomenal
good story growth. For anyone who's involved or thinking about landscaping, agriculture more broadly, perhaps even. So
yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And that then took us to Ep 12, who was a big guest, a big fish in our mind and a great guy overall. We got on digitally with him, Hugo Tuvey.
Mm.
Let's
What a story. What a guy.
Honestly. Oh, my God.
What an absolute gentleman. And then, like, you know, for someone who's been through so much, just to speak and, you know, articulate his story so well and calculated in, you know, his experiences. And I guess what I mean by that is that, you know, he's able to use his, let's say, like, shit experience.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
To then inspire others. And, you know, some people, they might, you know, they might not find that they like to use their story, or like they might want to block that part of their life away and keep forgetting about it, shoving it, you know, behind them, pushing forward. But he's really like throwing it out there in the palm of his hands for people to see, and hoping that by sharing his experiences, it's going to become more normalized to do things like, you know, check your nuts or go see your doctor as a young male.
Yeah. He spoke, yeah, obviously got to give Hugo credit to himself personally. Mm. I probably didn't expect him to be so well-spoken. I don't know what it was. I was like, okay, great guy. I know what he's doing. Let's see how it goes. But fuck, he blew me out of the water that
day. Awesome.
And full credit to him, speaks so well. He's doing some amazing things on the side. I feel for him, obviously, personally, the things that he's had to battle at such a young age.
Mm.
But as well, aside from that, he's done some great things, which I think we touched on, you know, going through university, the military as well, the service, and the big decision he had to make on whether or not he's, you know, stuck true to that.
Mm.
You know, being 21, dealing with some personal issues with his mate, obviously, you know, losing his life. That was massive.
Mm. Taking his life.
Yeah. Yeah, that is
That in itself is a lot for some young person to go through. And unfortunately, at this current stage, you know, about to go into 2023, just come out of a long pandemic, like the mental health issues that so many of us face is just so prevalent now. And
yeah,
I think it was really important that we touched on that, as well as, you know, his health complications that he's had to face through cancer. So
yeah,
love that episode. Absolute ripping bloke.
Yeah, and shout out to Hughie as well. Just got married the other weekend in Stirling, the Adelaide 100%. Hills. Looked like a great day, and I hope they had an amazing event and nice honeymoon by the looks of it too.
100%. Then the week after, we've done Oscar and Elliot, and, you know, that was a real, you know, inspiring story from us in terms of, you know, the commitment to a passion that you really like to do. Because these guys, we just talked about this festival before, so I'm not going to go into it too much detail, but these guys are working full-time jobs outside of creating a festival, you know, for a side hustle. That's a big audacious thing to go through.
My God, it's a big side hustle.
Oh, like, yeah.
Three stages, huge day, huge amount of event planning, coordination. One, the weather here in Adelaide has been terrible.
Yeah.
The fact that it came out the way it did and the boys, you know, went about their work was just unreal. And the chat as well, again, I said it about Hugo, I was also just as blown away by Oscar and Elliot with the way they articulated their passion for music and, you know, the community. And giving back to, you know, the people that they think, no, they, how they saw themselves when they were growing up.
Mm.
And, you know, they say the dance floors are the place that makes them the happiest, and that's why they do what they do. And, like, that is just so good to hear as a person who's, like, an audience. I'm a spectator. And so to hear them say that so authentically was like, wow, like, you guys are in it, like, for the right reasons.
100%.
And it made me want to support them even more, regardless of, we were already going to the event, but, like, if that wasn't the turning point for you guys listening, like, it should have been. Because these guys are, like, wholeheartedly invested in what they're doing, and it shows, and I'm super keen to see what they're doing in the next 5-10 years. Like, I think Side by Side in itself, but also Pivot, the Pivot group that they're a part of, going to do some incredible things next couple of years. Global scale, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I think, yeah, for me, definitely just like, as you said, the authentic way they talked about their passion, and that's music and being involved in the creative arts. Like, so cool to just see their faces light up and you know, just be real open and honest and transparent about how it makes them feel.
Yeah.
And that's where they get their sense of joy and happiness. And we talked on a few other things, like the release that you get. And, you know, sometimes when you're in a dance floor, like all you do is just be in the moment. And it's kind of like a form of meditation, because you shouldn't be caring about how you look, but, you know, obviously people do and whatever. But for many people, that's just where they, you know, get to, as I said earlier, wiggle their hips and have some fun.
We certainly wiggle our hips, that's for sure. I was bloody sore, and I'm not sure if it was from the Pilates or you're doing Saturday morning, all the dancing. I think it was a combination of both, but yeah, overall loved that day and loved having chats to those boys.
100%.
Takes us through to our most recent episode as well. It came out last week. A good friend of ours we know personally on and off the field and from a young age that yet you reminded me of, our coach and good friend Mark Evans.
Yeah.
How'd you find that?
Loved it.
You're course. Fangirling this guy still.
No, I'm not. Nah, but obviously, you know, it's really cool to have a chat with someone who's, you know, been in and around your life from a young age and then kind of like do a satellite view of how things have gone for him and let him, you know, talk about his you know, journey through football and careers and now becoming, you know, a father in a small young family. Like, awesome.
But yeah, the guy was one. We obviously know him personally, so we knew what to expect, but it still wowed me about his mentality towards life and the things he does and the things he values.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's obviously a new coach for us, new father as well. But I think he gave some great in-depth information on, you know, picking that sort of path and preparing yourself correctly as a young man, you know, with obviously a high drive for you doing your sports as well as your work. And so, you know, he came from a great background of parents who are quite academic. And I think he spoke very well in regards to those and how it sort of shaped him. But it's also awesome to hear how he would then speak to his younger self. I love that moment when he was like, you know, don't put your eggs in one basket, allow yourself to have different sort of avenues and find your sort of passion. As well as, you know, the drive of, you know, not making a grand final with the red legs and that passion and ultimately, you know, putting the cross in the sand, I think it is, and going, am I going to stand for this or am I going to work for something else that's going to serve me? And so
that was great. Recognizing that he had to, you know, have a bit of change, even though everything was going great for him at that point in time. You know, it was actually really tough because he's at a successful club, just missed out on a few opportunities consecutively. And then, had a change which worked out for the better. And I think a couple of things that I took away was, you know, he talked about, you know, you regret the decisions you don't make versus the ones that you do. Like, that's a big one. I think we always think about it too much. And I remember in our last Chameleon Catch-Up Ep 10, you said, what would you have advice for anyone who's, you know, thinking about entering something or making a decision, like a big life decision, that is, sorry.
Yeah.
And I said, don't think twice, or, you know, don't get lost thinking about it. And that's kind of what Mark was, I guess, reaffirming for me in that point. But also, I was probably more interested in, you know, hearing how he deals with things that don't go well.
Yeah.
You know, because to me, he's like, you know, ticks a lot of boxes. He's won sample flags and, you know, got a good job career. Everything seems to be going well. So I was keen to ask him that. And, you know, being he's really open-minded to feedback and being open to self-improvement, whether that's, you know, positive, negative, whatever. I think you have to, have a moment where you take your emotions away
from
what you're trying to do and then just absorb the real feedback from other external parties, and as well as being true to yourself as well, you know?
Yeah. And as well, he's not only doing that for himself, but he's giving it out. You know, I love that time that when he got to Sturt, he then gave that feedback to, I think it was the president or the coach at the time. And like for a first, I mean, obviously he's not like a new recruit in the sense of like he's 18, 19. He came from history and experience, but still in a new environment to step foot into that sort of realm and lay it down how you see it. Ultimately paid great dividends for the club in general, but it just shows a lot of his character, you know, that confidence. And to be able to, you know, have that internal reflection and pass it on to someone else is ultimately doing a great deed for the community and the people who he touches and around him.
Yeah, big time. You know, you got to be able to voice what you believe in, I guess. Which comes back to that confidence thing you were saying. So
yeah.
After that, we were, you know, at the end of our 5-week challenge of ourselves. And when I say ourselves, it was actually me doing something for 5 weeks, not you. But, you know, we did say in episode 10 that we wanted to live and breathe our values and what we preach on this podcast. So part of being a chameleon is getting outside your comfort zone and adapting to things that are new and unfamiliar. So we put it out there to the world that I was going to do 5 weeks vegetarian, and Harry came very well prepared.
As always.
And, you know, said that he was going to do stretching and all of these things. I'm like, shut the fuck up, mate. You do that already.
I've been doing them religiously every day.
So, yeah, Harry ended up doing a week off social media. And it was, to be honest, for me, a really good experience. You know, being a veggie, it's, you know, probably not the most extreme thing you could challenge yourself on, but I did learn a lot. I probably would have to say though that if you're gonna go veggie, don't do it because it's something that's hard. Like it's a hard thing to do. You want to challenge yourself. Do it because you actually want to. Like, because it was something that was hard, I had to consciously just like stop reminding myself like to grab meat or just go for the meat option.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if I had actually made a conscious decision to like, oh no, I wanted to, let's say, you know, go veggie to lose weight, or let's say go veggie to, you know, have a better impact on the production of food. So whatever that is, you know, whatever reason you've got, it's probably a lot better than just saying you want to do it because it's hard. Because it was honestly sometimes harder to pull myself off on the fact that, you know, I might have, you know, picked up some ham when I was out, you know. But like,
I put it down. Are you confessing right now?
No, I'm not confessing, no. But like, I did it. We talked about Charlie's in our, like,
yeah.
Yeah, so like that was interesting. I think you got to do it for some self-belief, not
because... You probably wanted a bit more of a drive rather than on-the-spot decision, like a bit more of a thought process behind and the reason it's going to benefit not just you but maybe something else internally, or...
Yeah, I think more internal. Yeah, like
I think, that has a lot of... it has a lot of merit in the sense of preparing that way, but also it also takes away from the concept of being a chameleon. You know, you're going to find yourself in situations that you haven't prepared for ultimately. Mm. And being able to put yourself through that mentally, physically, is probably the hardest part of adapting, right?
Mm.
And so I think what you've just said is perfectly describes what we're trying to do with our guests and ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had to face something that you weren't necessarily comfortable with, or the fact that you probably weren't as prepared as you would have liked to have been.
Yeah, true.
And that, you know, that evening when, you know, we went to our mate's birthday for a dinner, you know, it is like you've got to almost force yourself to pull yourself up and go, no, yeah, I got to do something else. Whereas maybe if you gone into, you know, with like 2 or 3 weeks prep going, all right, from this date, blah, 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 I'm going to have all these meals set, blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
It might have been a bit easier for you.
Mm, true. And that was the challenge. Definitely found it hard to get used to like cooking vegetarian the first few weeks. But towards the end, had so much fun exploring different recipes,
yeah,
trying different things. trying different fast food restaurants. Like, hands down, Hungry Jack's has the best veggie burger going around. Yeah. And Macca's, no options there. So, you know, pick up your game, McDonald's. We've actually plugged them a couple of times on this
podcast. HJ's pod. Or Macca's?
Well, Macca's, obviously you listen to the pod intently, but...
oh, no, I just hate Macca's.
Nah, so yeah, go to Hungry Jack's if you're a veggie. The one thing I do recommend if you are... in Macca's, just whack a bunch of hash browns in there. And that's another point.
Mm.
If you're going vegetarian, get ready to eat a lot of potatoes.
Yeah, really? Nice. Yeah. Most people love potatoes. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I found that I filled up quicker.
With certain foods?
Yeah, like you can eat a lot when you're having veggie meals. Like you can eat a lot. So whether that's like a stir fry, or even like a veggie pasta. Even actually, do you know what slaps? Veggie schnitties.
Whoa, you didn't warn me of these.
Yeah, they are good, man. They're good.
Are they restaurant made, or did you pre-buy them?
I've done from the supermarket. I've done it at the pub. Like, yep, both, hands down. Like,
what is that? Is that eggplant?
Or no. So it's like, this is a mystery to me still. I have no fucking clue what it was made out of.
Can we get a chef that can call us in one day to tell us some info on this?
Honestly, if you're out there and you're a seasoned veggie or vegan and you know what's in them, tell us, because it's good. It literally tastes like a chicken nugget.
I'm thinking like spring rolls spread out with some crumbs on it or something.
But yeah, no, it's really good. And I think everyone should try, be more conscious about what they're putting in their gob, you know, every now and then.
Yeah.
It really helped with particularly the habit of just, you know, eating good, nutritious breakfast in the morning. So the morning routine, which we're pretty large on here. And obviously, I mean, I haven't weighed myself, but I feel probably a bit lighter.
Yeah. You look bloody good, mate.
As always, nah.
5 weeks challenge.
I'm joking. But
you did take your shirt off at a music festival to put on sunscreen.
No, I didn't.
At like 3 p.m. on Saturday. And I looked at you and I was like, you're right. You go, bro, I've got to get the shoulders And then
shut the fuck up. This is getting edited.
These two
out.
Random girls come past. You're like, all right. And I was like, could you mind helping your shoulders? And they dead set got a hand each and did your shoulders. You don't remember this, do you?
No.
Oh, this is gold. This is gold.
Did that happen?
Hands down. Dude, oh, yeah. You were like, I need some sunscreen because this is probably like
it was hot.
Hot in the day. Everyone was burning up. And I said, it's over there by the bar. Let's go get some.
I do remember this. Yeah. It,
shirt off. Didn't even say a thing. I looked at you and I'm like, whoa, fucking hell. I'm not taking mine off, man.
Oh, you got to get everything covered.
Oh, yeah.
And
worry.
The UV rays do get through t-shirts and stuff. So.
Oh, yeah, no. Nah.
Yeah, important to do it. You know, slip, slop, slap.
Yeah, we're slip, slop, slapping.
Yeah.
One thing I want to ask. So you felt good.
Mm.
What would you recommend to someone who's thinking of doing it, or are you going to implement anything on yourself personally now after you've done your 5 weeks?
Yeah, I think if I had any tips for anyone going into it, just be prepared to potentially cook before you go out, or you know, if you are a big meat lover like I was or still am, definitely you know, try to be appreciative of the options that they have there. And to be honest, there's so many good veggie options, vegan options on menus now. Like it's probably a large portion of the community that are, you know, within that food bracket. So you're actually not missing out. And I found it quite fun.
Yeah.
Like coming from a seasoned meat lover, I found it quite fun trying the veggie meals, and they're pretty tasty. So be open-minded and try not feel like you're experiencing FOMO.
Yeah, definitely.
I spoke about it before, but I had, you know, family members and friends sort of try to rub it in my face, and you know, I guess I tried to be resilient like a chameleon would and just bloody ignore them and go forward without, you know, getting their shit in my grill. But yeah, tips would just be, you know, don't think about what you don't have, which is massive, and we talked about that in actually at 12 with Hugo about building gratitude.
Yeah.
So that, and then for myself personally, I'm going to probably continue to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know for how long, but I'm going to continue to do it. Like I went to the nachos challenge with you on the weekend and had a palmy, but like it didn't like tickle anything for me. Like, it was good. Like, I knew what it was going to taste like already.
Yeah, yeah. So nothing too exciting dragging.
It wasn't. Back. Yeah, it was actually probably underwhelming as well.
So you might your first preference going forward might be the veggie option.
I'll try it. Yeah. I think maybe for like special occasions like Christmas, I'm probably going to knuckle into the pork crackling.
Yeah, you are. Why do I have the best image in my mind right now? Like no knife and fork, just full hands and banger.
Yeah.
We've got some history, you and I, with some pork belly as well.
Oh, that's a good story. That is a
we'll
great
keep that for
story.
Another catch up, that's
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to save that one for another episode. But yeah, I'm probably going to continue on in special events. Like birthdays,
nice,
Christmas
mate.
And stuff.
Nice. Well, I think we should check back in next time we do this and see how that's tracking. And again, you know, like you said, I think in our mini series catch up mid challenge, you said, I haven't really noticed any sort of major, you know, results or effects just yet. Mm. So I'm keen to hear long term, you know, a couple of months to see how you're feeling. And, you know, like you said, you do feel a bit better.
Yeah.
So I'm keen to keep a tab on that for sure.
Yeah. How about you, mate? You know, the takeaways from your 1 week of social media now that you've been back for two weeks or so.
So obviously it's not a feat like 5 weeks, but I actually found one, it was something that was really challenging for me personally, just because of like my lifestyle at the moment, you know, works on social media. Personally, I was just in a bad hole.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that was the first thing after trying to persuade you with my stretching and all that other bullshit. That was probably the next thing that popped into my mind that would be really tough.
Yeah.
You know, I was in a bad habit of social media at night before bed, TikTok, the different apps, Be Real. There were just things that were just draining me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, obviously we touched on it a bit in the midweek catch up, but I think looking back at it now, I sent you a list of things that I reflected on that really stood out to me. And, you know, some of them were, you know, self-doubt was almost non-existent. And that's not me saying my self-confidence rose. It's literally just self-doubt in itself dropped dramatically. You know, when I was, you know, going head forward into the day doing, you know, essential tasks, just random stuff for myself or, you know, for work or just in personal life, I just didn't really second guess myself, which was odd. And I didn't really notice that until the end as well, but when I started to go back onto it.
Okay.
And that was an interesting one because, you know, in the moment, you don't really realize your self-doubt. until it, you know, affects your decision making process. And so I really noticed that afterwards, that when I was off social media, I was just go get it. Yeah. Like, I'm going to do something, I'm just going to do it.
Okay, me. So the self-doubt is task-orientated. It's not like
you're
capable or not of doing the dishes or something.
Yeah, yeah, it's just task-orientated. And so there was less second-guessing.
As in you just were probably more proactive in action?
I think so. Focused. More focused in the actual moment of the task rather than you know, going in and out of things or only half-assing it. I went in and did actually the full task and completed it.
Oh, rather than like procrastinating.
Maybe that's a better way to describe it. My procrastination levels dropped and I completed tasks to more efficient amount quicker, essentially.
Right. Yes. So you're less time wasting.
Yeah, definitely. Another one I was aware of was my surroundings. Like I said to you before just then, like I was more in the present. You know, I picked up on different things that I might have been oblivious to. You know, you take your attention span away when you're on social media, and I found that I was just like picking up on little things or just day-to-day sort of stuff, whether it was I was out and about in public, I just, you know, it was more present in like what I'm doing, where I am, the things that are going on around me. Whereas I found beforehand, or even going back onto it now, that, you know, I'm just go, all right, do that task, go to the next thing, do that task, go to the next thing. Whereas during that time off, I actually allowed myself just to do that task and then just relax, or, you know, do that task, but also look around, you know, take the extra 5 minutes or just little things like that, which were a bit interesting.
So was that like the people around you, or are you talking like the senses you had? Like, I'm just trying to picture it. So
definitely the people.
Okay.
People. So I'll give you for an example. So during that week off, I made myself go out, like get out of the house while I do my work. So I went to the Stirling Library, set up a little work desk, and, you know, instead of me just sort of like, focus on what I was doing, I took moments to then just like be there when I would usually go on my phone.
Yeah.
And so instead of me, you know, taking a break from doing some work, I would then take a break and just stop and look.
Yeah, cool.
And it was interesting. I just started like, I love people watching and a lot of people do, but it was just, I just sat there and just started analyzing different things. And, you know, the Stirling Library for me is obviously very nostalgic because I grew up in the hills and went there when I was in primary school. And so it was almost like I just looked at different things and it made me feel different, like different ways, I guess. And maybe it was just because I was in that environment maybe, but yeah, I don't know. My surroundings just became more prominent for me, I guess.
Yeah, because you're less distracted.
Less distracted,
You're like less concerned about what you're missing out on, because I know there was a portion there that week where you were like, oh, this is bad.
Yeah, one of the biggest challenges, which I told you about, was the Saturday night of that week. That was probably the hardest. I was like, I had a quiet night on a Saturday night, went home, and I had just had no social media to check on what everyone else is up to. And that was like really, really hard because my mind is like telling me, oh, like go on social media, see what everyone else is up to. And going to sleep that night was really hard. It was the first proper night that I was like, fuck, this is actually really hard. Whereas the rest had sort of kept on like compounding and getting easier and easier. And then I hit the Saturday, which was I think day 5. And that was like a slap in the face. Like I wanted to go on it so bad. So bad. And I eventually, you know, got to sleep and I woke up and I felt great, but it was that, you know, 2 or 3 hour period when I got home and I was like, oh, what do I do? Like, I'm just so out of the loop. And it felt, I don't know, I almost could say like your anxiety increased as well. Anxiety definitely shot up.
Okay.
And, you know, I reflect back on when I had social media, and if I had a quiet night, it made me feel how I felt when I was like 18, 19 and having a quiet night in, and then, you know, seeing stuff going on social media and I wasn't there, I would feel like anxious about it. And that's how it made me feel now, when like I haven't felt like that in, you know, 4 or 5 years.
It's so interesting, because one would think that with it being gone, you have less to worry about.
Yeah, for sure.
So the fact you're feeling maybe more anxious,
it's
quite interesting. But I feel like, I mean, it'd be good to see you do it for a longer period, which, you know, might not be possible. But I would like to see if you had those thoughts continually for like a 5 week.
The next weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I think, you know, I wanted to make that decision to have a quiet weekend regardless of the challenge. Because that day, obviously, we were out for our friends going away and I didn't go on my phone at all. And so it wasn't like I needed to be on it, but as soon as I was away from people, my mind instantly looked for it in the phone sense. So that was an interesting one. Another one that also stuck out to me was obviously my sleep. That was a big one, and I think this will interest some people. Sleep increased dramatically. The quality of it, as well as my dreams became incredibly vivid. Like, I remembered my dreams almost every morning.
What?
And this is something like really interests me, because I've always, and everyone does, struggle to remember their dreams.
Mm.
But probably after day two, I was waking up and remembering 90% of my dreams.
Wow.
And for reference, that sort of couple of weeks prior to going off social media, I would be like on TikTok for 25, 40 minutes before going to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bad, bad habit. And I hated it, but like I just kept doing it. And so then going off, 48 hours in, my dreams were vivid as. Like, I felt like I was like then and there living that, and woke up and I remembered all of it.
That's so cool.
And they weren't anything, you know, like scary or like, you know, dramatic, or maybe like reconsider things. It was just felt like I was really dreaming, like I was deep.
Yeah.
Which was great. And I felt more refreshed waking up that way as well, rather than sort of like being in and out of good sleep, in and out.
Mm. That's a really good one. And I think I'm going to drop another podcast for people to listen to if they're interested in learning how people sleep. And I think they're REM patterns and cycles that we go through throughout our sleep. Andrew Huberman, neuroscientist from Stanford University, he's got a podcast called Huberman Lab. And his podcast episodes go for a couple of hours. But if you're interested in learning how to get better sleep and what you should do to prepare your body to get a good night's sleep, have a listen to his episode on sleep. It's quite interesting. I think there might even be something in one of those episodes about, you know, the effects of having a screen in front of your eyes, or an algorithm like TikTok or Insta scrolling before you go to sleep.
So, oh yeah, the science is definitely there. It's not a positive thing for the human body at all. You know, we are so receptive to our surroundings and our lights and different things. And to follow on from that, you know, there's a lot of study behind red light time as well, when you're trying to unwind and sort of decompress the mind. And so I'll go into it as well. The things that I want to sort of challenge myself afterwards is that Monday to Friday, try and stay off majority of the apps, but also then find things that substitute what I would usually do when being on social media. So a couple of things that I found like enjoyable during that time was when I would try and have a break, which I'd usually go on my phone for, I would do things like games. I dead set downloaded a game back on my phone that we played in high school. And I'm not sure if that, you know, is the most beneficial sort of substitute, but then I found I would play less time on that than I would be on social media. So I'd play like one game on that. It'd be five minutes. And then that's my quota met. I didn't feel like I needed to do any more. The same sort of thing happened, like self-reflection. I'd listen to Audible like crazy during that time. And so reading was a big one. I did a lot of listening rather than sort of like watching. And I found that was just as enjoyable and way more relaxing, obviously. You know, everyone sort of suggested that when I started it. And the other one was like just TV shows, good conversations, like spoke to people in depth about certain things. Nag you, of course. Send a few texts. But yeah, overall it was really, really good. One thing I do want to add is the moment I got back on that Tuesday night, it was about 10 p.m. I didn't even want to do it, right? But I thought, I've got to, you know, for the challenge, I'll test it. Jumped back on. Within 5 minutes, self-confidence plummeted.
Wow.
So I'm 10 p.m. I'm in bed, right? I've gone on the phone. I'm not even on an app for 5 minutes. Self-confidence just dropped.
And like, what part of your confidence has dropped there?
I don't know. I think it was just more of like an internal feeling rather than any sort of thought process. But seeing, just constantly seeing, like scrolling and seeing what other people were doing, I just didn't feel great. And I spoke about at the start that self-doubt was like non-existent. As soon as I saw what everyone else was doing, maybe it was like internal thing, like, oh, I'm not doing that, so I'm not as good, or just little things like that. It was really weird, but I felt terrible afterwards. And the dopamine hit, like I went for like 5-10 minutes and then I just crashed as well afterwards. I wanted more. And that was like the first 5-10 minutes.
Have you had a look at your screen time?
Yeah.
Before and after?
Yeah. So before was about 5.5 to 6 hours a day. During was, I think max was like 3 hours and 3 minutes.
So you decreased that significantly?
Significantly, yeah. Almost 40%.
That's really good, because I've heard it's quite it has sometimes the opposite effect.
Yeah.
Because you've been so used to a certain quota of dopamine per day, which is 5 to 6 hours in your case. Sorry, it sounds unhealthy, but it's probably quite common for people our age, I would expect.
Oh, yeah, for
unfortunately.
Sure. Yeah.
And then they get back and it kind of goes up another spike beyond that 5 to 6 hour level.
Yeah. Well, the screen time now, I'm probably sitting at like 5 hours, 4.5 hours. So it's
just nearly back.
Yeah, it's definitely risen. And that is obviously purely all social media. One thing I will touch on in terms of the time, like the first day that first 48 hours was all habit. You know, I'd be doing certain things in the day and I'd automatically just go grab my phone and look at it. And I'll just look at, I'd honestly have to tell myself, like, put the fucking phone down. Like, there's nothing for you to look at. Like, you know, you don't need to text anybody. No one's texted you. Like, you don't need to send any emails. Like, what are you doing? And so I just like throw it back on the ground. Yeah. And so it probably took 24 to, you know, 40 odd hours for me to sort of flush that out.
Yeah. And they've done studies on stuff like this as well. Mm. Like that you get phantom notifications.
Oh, I dead set. Well, I put my AirPods in. I thought I heard the noise. Like at one point, I was in the gym first day, flipping chips, grabbed my phone 5 times, thinking it went off.
Yeah.
Yeah. And dead set, nothing on there. Music was playing. Didn't even stop. You know how the music stops sometimes?
Yeah.
I was like, whoa.
What sort of alternate universe we fucking living in
seriously.
Now?
But overall, like, it was a great challenge and it is something I probably want to try in a greater length.
Yeah, okay.
But it was great and it showed plenty of benefits to, you know, provide a lot of, well, increased productivity. You know, mindfulness is a big one as well. Reflection, I spoke about the reading and whatnot, and just being like present was a massive thing. You know, I'm going on a bit here, but there was one time, I think on day 3, that I was like, all right, I'm gonna have a break now. I'm just gonna sit outside the dog. And I sat there and just like, I dead set just watched birds.
Awesome.
And it felt so fucking good.
Great.
Felt so good and felt like just rejuvenating. And did 5-10 minutes and I felt refreshed as. Whereas if I had spent 5-10 minutes on my phone, I would have felt like I needed to do another 5-10 minutes and another 5-10 minutes and it would have gone for like half an hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so doing those little things and I ended up leaving my phone more places behind.
You know, have you found that you have started to compare yourself again more?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Because by the sounds of things, when you are out there bird watching, you're being present. And like, I can just picture a lot of young people, probably even my brother, who's very young, being like, fucking what's cool about watching birds? But in a way, it's not whether or not it's cool or whether you enjoy it. It's about just being content in the moment, which is really super important for your mental health, you know, and there's a level of boredom that comes with that. You know, life's not always supposed to be full throttle.
Yeah.
100%, you know, liking what's going on. And you're not, you know, we're conditioned to have this stream of things that we like coming into our eyeballs, you know, hours on end per day.
And a big one for me is boredom brings rest and the body needs rest, right? And I know for me personally, I don't get enough of it. And so I found that when I was necessarily bored, you know, bird watching, that was my proper rest time. And that's why I was able to go back and do more efficient work quicker.
Awesome.
And that was the best thing I enjoyed. Hands down. That was like so good because I felt better for longer from doing less, you know?
Massive.
Yeah.
That's a really good win. So I think if anything, you know, there's something structurally we could probably both do, or all of us out there, is maybe set aside some time throughout the day. It's so much easier to say than do, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. And that's the thing. Like the day after I finished, I was like, "Yep, I'm gonna be super strict on myself with this stuff."
Yeah,
but like, you slip back into habits. You know, you're only human. Don't be too harsh on yourself, but just again, I spoke about like the habit side of things, you know, just make it a change, one little habit this week and something next week to do with social media or your phone. And if you're going for a walk, don't take it. You know, if you're doing something with others, put your phone down. You know, really just try and be in the present, or even if it's for 5-10 minutes, just do it just here and there and then come back. Like, it's not going to affect anything, but you know, you hear the saying of when you lose your phone, you felt you lost part of yourself. you know, it's like quite the opposite, really. It's huge.
It's massive. I think the more people hear about it, the more likely they are to make a change.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully. I know. It's just one of those ones where we're all guilty of the same problem, but not doing anything to better help ourselves.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. But no, it was good fun. We'll talk about this a little bit later, but I think, you know, I'm looking forward to another challenge, and whether it's something around technology or it's not, I think it was a good insight and good challenge for us to do, because, you know, at the start we were like, oh, should we do that? Should we not do it? But then, you know, I'm pretty sure you raised the point, being like, no, like, we need to hold ourselves accountable. Like we do with our guests every week, we can do the exact same thing.
Mm.
And so in that regard, it's great.
Big time. So big challenges coming up as well on the topic next year. Big move for you. How are we thinking, you know, thoughts, feeling, emotions about leaving your home city to go on a one-way trip to Amsterdam?
Mate, it's, I'm what? Yeah, so I think it's about 6 weeks until I fly out. And look, the emotions and thoughts, feelings, everything is like a flowing ridiculous amounts at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But the preparation side of things are going well. The thoughts are racing. Like, there's still a lot to get organized, but, you know, I knew it was going to happen, but there was always going to be self-doubt and like that sort of stuff creep in. But I think it's come a little bit earlier than I expected. And the feelings have been really, really good actually regarding that. So like, I feel like I've been in a good headspace to handle that at the moment. But it's still like, you know, why are you doing this? Is it enough? Like, what are you actually going to get out of it? And so...
almost a direct mirror of what you'd experienced the last time you left
the country. Yeah, almost the exact same.
Yeah.
And I think I've said this a couple of times on the pod to you about it. Like, I was expecting this, but it never gets easier. And so in that regard... you know, it's challenging, but at the same time, you know, like, I'm reaching out to the guy, one of my mates, Gary, in Amsterdam at the moment, to help out, you know, trying to find an apartment for me. And so just little things like that. So when I chat to him and, you know, he says how excited he is, you know, that pumps me up and I'm like, all right, this is great. I see things that are happening over there this time of year that are like, look amazing. And that sort of reconfirms, you know, why I'm doing it as well. And so there's lots of little things that I just sort of need to keep doing to reinforce, you know, the decision I've made. Because, you know, I bought a one-way ticket and there's no real backing out. And so I think that in itself is enough of a drive factor for me. But like at the same time, you know, there's always going to be things pop up that make you go, oh, why am I doing this? You know, it happens daily. But as long as you can sort of keep yourself on track for the main reason, I think it should be fine. But, you know, nothing prepares you enough for that day when you do leave. But, you know, it brings challenges, which I like. And I love that the things it's going to be able to, you know, provide for me and for the podcast as well. You know, we're taking Call Your Chameleon International, which is pretty amazing so early on. And so in that regard, it's going to be great. But at the same time, there's always going to be self-doubt and sort of more self-reflection required to still, you know, to get there. I think, you know, I'm trying to do a lot of that sort of like self-reflection and sort of like self-preservation as well to allow me to be ready, I guess, in that sort of sense. But yeah, overall pretty good, I think.
Yeah. Let's unpack a few things there. I think there was a lot you touched on, but the self-doubt probably to be expected because it's a big decision. You were very excited when you just bought the ticket, and then, you know, I think it's one of those scenarios where it's like, oh, it's so much easier to say.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
And then when it comes to crunch time, it's like, all right, you know, like the curtain's about to be raised. I'm going to be exposed here for everything I've, you know, talked about and planned for. So that obviously comes with a certain level of anxiety, which is probably what you're going through. But I don't think that's wavered your preparation to, you know, get there and commit to this.
Yeah, so the excitement is definitely still there. But the emotions that are coming with it are all natural at the moment and nothing I didn't expect. But yeah, overall, I'm absolutely ecstatic to get going. But like the challenges are coming regardless. And so, you know, just got to tackle it head on and just keep going through. And the next couple of weeks and month, you know, are going to be great fun. We've got some awesome things lined up, obviously for us, with the podcast, as well as each of us personally as well, with a few trips. And so just going to enjoy myself next couple of weeks and get going.
Yeah, there's a lot of good things to look forward to. And I think it's good that, you know, you're trying to make the most of the last moments you got in town, but we have obviously talked on a few challenges and mentioned that the potty will be international. Do you want to sort of talk about what the plan is for CYC 2023?
Yeah, definitely. So we've got obviously got some big things in store. You know, both of us have got some, you know, ambitions, but obviously me leaving creates a massive challenge for us personally, obviously as friends, but also as podcast hosts. So we're going to be taking things virtually like we have with Hugo Tuvi, which does create one big issue. The fact that you can never see me on our Riverside recordings, that's one issue we need to flatten out. But overall, you know, we'll be doing guests every fortnightly, I think is the aim. The time difference I checked the other day is like 10 and a half hours from Amsterdam.
Yeah.
And so that is going to pose a challenge for us both personally when, you know, we bring guests on, whether they are over in, you know, the Netherlands or they are here in Australia. And so I think from when we do start, you know, I think you guys who are listening will hear probably a bit more of Zeb in the first couple of weeks while I get myself set up. And that'll obviously allow me to sort of just fully immerse myself in, you know, that new lifestyle and routine before jumping back in, but also gives, you know, yourself, you know, the chance to really sort of excel and bring in some guests and run things that you see fit. And I think that'll be an awesome opportunity and the guests will love that. And, you know,
I think the good thing about it is that we've talked about getting outside our comfort zone a lot on this pod, and now you're doing one of the most uncomfortable things, plus the added pressure of an audience that you've just recently grown to 15 episodes, right?
Mm.
So you want to commit to stuff that you've got going on in Australia where, you know, you've grown up, but also live a life immersed in a completely different culture. So that's a big challenge in itself, as well as like the operational logistics of having episodes, you know, fortnightly and whatnot. So yeah, I think the fact that you're quite optimistic and prepared for it is good, you know, because it won't be easy, but that's the whole point, right?
Well, that's the thing. It's a whole nother challenge. It's a new environment for me, and that's what this podcast is about.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm never going to back away from that challenge, and I'm looking forward to getting comfortable in that new environment and adapting myself, as well as, you know, bringing the Cool Your Chameleon podcast over there.
Fucking,
you know, that's pretty huge, really. And we're gonna be able to reach a whole new demographic as well. You know, I know a few friends of mine overseas have been listening and been keeping tabs on things. And so, you know, it'll bring a whole other challenge, but a whole new opportunity for us as well.
Mm.
Like some of the guests we could bring on, like who knows what's going to happen.
And I hope, you know, you listening, if you've, you know, tagged along the whole way through so far, a bit excited and intrigued as well, because at the end of the day, we've always said we just want to inspire our listeners. And, you know, if you're a listener out there that's thought, oh, I wouldn't mind trying living overseas once or twice, we're literally going to be documenting your whole journey, right?
Yeah.
So that's just something I don't think I've come across before. I mean, you've got travel bloggers and vloggers and everything like that, but the other dimension is the other travelers you're going to bring.
Yeah.
And you know, checking in like we have been every five eps, like as mates.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome, I think.
Yeah. And going to bring a whole new level to it, really. You know, like this dynamic is going to change, which I'm actually really excited for, because it's going to bring a lot of challenges. But also, you know, those check-ins are going to be crazy. It's going to be 7 a.m. for you, maybe like 9, 10 p.m. for me, that sort of stuff. But yeah. What brings the challenges comes opportunity and excitement. And, you know, yeah, it's going to be good fun.
Yeah.
A lot of good fun.
Gives me a good excuse to get over there, eh?
Yeah, mate, definitely.
Well, that's a good way to finish, I reckon, because we're coming up to a pretty busy period, Christmas, New Year. We'll have some episodes coming out over the next few weeks. A couple of ones I'm really excited about, to be honest. And I think after the feedback we've received recently from some of our listeners, like they're going to really enjoy these next few guests. So that's really good. And then we'll do a bit of a check-in just before you get out, I reckon, and say our final goodbyes.
Yeah, no, there's lots to look forward to. Next couple of weeks, we've got some awesome guests, and I know we're both personally pumped to get them on, and I think they're going to bring a whole new element to the Call of Chameleon concept.
Yeah.
And some really interesting backgrounds, which are both quite global, a couple of our guests, you know, there's some big names in there. And so, yeah, stay tuned, and again, we're going to retouch on the Challenges series. We will be getting involved with the Cool Your Chameleon community.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's challenges out there you want us to try, or if you want to even want to get involved with us too, you know, we obviously always encourage, you guys out there sending messages, thoughts, feedback, all that sort of stuff on the concept, and want to get involved in any regard, you know, let's do it.
Yeah. Whatever you want to suggest to us, we're probably going to do.
Yeah.
Or at least consider. And then as well, we want to make sure that, you know, if you're thinking about getting outside your comfort zone and trying something new, we'll do it with you.
Yeah.
If you want to get us involved, let's do it.
Yeah.
And really live and breathe in what we preach.
Yep, hands down. It's community for a reason and it's rock and roll.
Absolutely, mate. Well, that's a good summary of everything that's been happening in the last 5 weeks or so and what's going to happen. So, you know, we also talk about that. It's good to have a plan, but things don't go to plan sometimes.
Yes.
So we'll be adapting and persevering no matter the circumstance. But yeah, I hope you've enjoyed this episode, episode 15 with Harry and I, the Chameleon Catch-Up series. And yeah, thanks for tuning in again.
Thanks, guys. As always, like, share, subscribe, and thank you, mothers, for listening.